I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord once again. Are you all glad to be in the house of the Lord? Yes, I trust that every Lord's Day, when you come here, you will say in your heart that you are indeed very, very glad that you are here. And what a great privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord, to worship Him. There are people in the world who want to worship the Lord, but they do not have the freedom and the liberty to worship Him openly. But thank God, we have this privilege of coming into His house to worship Him. But sometimes, I think many a time, we do not take full advantage of this privilege. And so what do? We don't come to church early, we don't realize that it's a privilege for us to come to worship Him. We come to church as if we are doing God a favor by coming to church. We don't realize that it is really a great, great privilege that we are able to be here to worship Him. So why don't we make up our minds and make this important decision and say, Lord, every Lord's Day, enable me to come to your house early. Well, I hope next week when you make your try your very, very best to come here early. And by, say, 10 to 10 in the morning, the church is full. And how nice it will be if everybody is seated in position by 10 to 10 on the Lord's Day. Now the message today is what to remember and what to put on. The text for today is Proverbs 3 verses 1 to 4, the four verses that we have committed to memory. And I trust that after we have gone through the message this morning, you will have a better understanding of these four verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Now who is speaking here? Yes, it was King Solomon who is speaking here. But friends, let us not think that it was only King Solomon who was speaking, but rather let us realize that it is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one true living God who is speaking here. Yes, and He is speaking to whom? To us who are His children. Now it is true that in one sense, in a general sense, God is the Father of all creation. He is the Father of all mankind, in a very general sense. But friends, in a very, very special sense, and very, very exclusively, God is the Father of only all those people who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then God is your Heavenly Father. Then you are in a position to call Him Abba Father. Friends, understand this truth. If you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you have not repented from your sins, God is not your Heavenly Father. In fact, the Word of God is clear about this. If you have not trusted in Him as Lord and Savior, God is not your friend. He is your enemy. And because you are not His very own, you are not His children if you have not trusted in Him yet, His instruction to you out of His word of life would be very meaningless. So the words like, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments, you see, this don't mean anything to me. It's just like a father speaking to his son, giving instruction to his son. And at the time when he's giving instructions to his son, his neighbor's children are in his home. Now the instruction will be meaningful to his sons or to his children, but the instruction will not be meaningful to those who are not his children, those who are his neighbor's children. Why? Because they are not his children, that's why. But the message, the instruction will be meaningful to those who are his. So friends, let's hear the Lord our Father speaking to us this morning. And as I said, if you are outside the kingdom of God, my dear friends, the word of God means nothing to you. I want to urge you this morning to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, so that God will be your Father. Now, if God is your Father, once he's your father, then his word becomes very, very meaningful to you. You find it very, very precious. Now, you find the word of God precious. Now, if you are a child of God, you must find it very, very precious. Yes, very, very precious. Even more precious than the most precious of precious stones. Because it is the word that is able to make you wise. And it is the word of everlasting life. And it is the word of abundant life. Friends, have you felt this way concerning about the word of God? I trust you have. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of God, you must feel that way in regards to the word of God. Now let's look at the first instruction. The first instruction given here is, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. My son, forget not. Why does God have to say this to us? My son, forget not. Don't forget. Now, God says this because he knows exactly what we are made up of. Because he is our creator. He made us. And he knows just how forgetful we can be. Now, a study of the human memory shows that we forget names at the rate of something like 80%. In other words, if you are introduced to 100 persons, chances are you will forget 80 of those names that you have been introduced to. Very, very quickly. That is how quickly we forget names and how forgetful we are. And then also, what about where you put your things? The rate of forgetting is something like 60%. In other words, if you take 100 things and you put them in 100 different places, chances are you will forget 60 places where you have put your things. Yes, that is how quickly we forget, and that is how poor our memory is. And of course, you get older. Needless to say, the percentage will increase, right? You may not understand this. If you're young, you get older like me, then you appreciate what I'm saying better. Now, not only are we capable of absent-minded forgetting, now that kind of forgetting is absent-minded forgetting, but we are also very, very capable of what is known as ungrateful forgetting. We forget because we have ungrateful hearts. Now, you will recall the 10 lepers who came to the Lord Jesus Christ for healing. And the Lord healed all 10 of them. But how many of them remembered to come back to thank the Lord? How many? One. And he was a Samaritan. All the rest forgot to come back to thank the Lord. They conveniently forgot. They were ungrateful. That is why they forgot to come back to thank the Lord. Now we are very, very capable of forgetting because of our ungrateful hearts. And we are also good at forgetting. So good at forgetting that sometimes, or many times, we treat the Lord as a kind of spare tire, something which I did mention some years ago. Yes, we are capable of treating the Lord as a kind of spare tire. Now, when you drive, do you remember your spare tire? You don't even think about your spare tire, right? You only remember that you have a spare tire when you have got a punctured tire. And then you go up, go behind, you open up the booth, you took out your tire and you press the tire. It's deflated. You have forgotten to pump in air. Isn't it true? Yes. So, friends, that's how we treat the Lord. We forget that He is there. We forget that He is with us. We forget His presence. Then, when we are in trouble, it is only when we are in trouble that we remember Him. Yes. And, when we are in trouble, we pray to Him for help. We pray to Him to heal us. We pray to Him to get us out of trouble. But no sooner had He delivered us out of trouble, what happens next? We forget Him again. Very, very quickly we forget Him. Isn't it very true? And during the time of crisis, when we are going through problems, we pray this kind of prayers. We said, Lord, if you were to heal me, if you were to deliver me, I'll do this for you, I'll do that for you. Lord, I promise you I'll come to the church prayer meeting. Then we said, oh Lord, I promise to serve you with all my heart, soul, mind and strength. And I promise you, Lord, if you want me to serve you full time, I will serve you full time. And we make all kinds of promises. But no sooner had he delivered us. What happened? My dear friends, we conveniently forget about all the promises that we made to him. So you see how absent-mindedly forgetful we can be and how ungratefully forgetful we can be. But we must not forget his laws. The Lord says, "My son, forget not my laws." Yes, we must know his laws. And we must not only know his laws in our head, but friends, we must keep his laws in our heart. Remember his laws and keep his laws in our hearts. Now, you could know the laws well in the head, but that does not mean that you will not break the laws. Isn't it true? Yes, lawyers, judges, magistrates, all these people know the laws well. They know them well in the head, but not necessarily in the heart. That is why they break the laws and then they commit offenses. Yes, and the latest case concerns this former federal court judge. He has been found guilty of committing 13 offenses, and all related to his lying over a speeding offense. Apparently, he went beyond the speed limit on one occasion, and he lied that he was not the driver, but somebody else was the driver. But it was discovered that the driver that he said who drove the car was one who had died 2 years ago. Now, does he not know the law, my dear friends? Does he not know? Of course he knows the law. He knows it well in the head. And does he not know that it is an offense to lie? Of course he knows that it's an offense to lie. Yes, and it's a very, very serious offense to lie in court. He knows that. He knows that only in the head, but not in the heart. And that is why he had broken the laws and he had committed 13 offenses. Then, haven't we heard of judges and magistrates who had handed down judgment unfairly? They do so not because they do not know the laws, friends, but they know the laws in the head, know the laws in the head, but not the laws in the heart. So what do they do? They took bribes, and they were racially and politically prejudiced. The result of which was they handed out judgments that were not fair. They know the laws in the head, but friends, they do not know the laws in the heart. They do not keep the laws in the heart. But isn't it the case with us believers? We know God's laws in the head, but friends, very often we do not keep the laws in our hearts. But the Lord says this to us, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments." We are to hide God's word in our heart so that we might not sin against thee. But the idea of hiding God's word in our heart is not that we hide it so well that we forget that God's law is there. No, my friends, we are very, very capable of hiding God's word very, very well, to the extent that we forget that God's word is in our heart. Yes, we are very, very capable of memorizing God's word. Isn't it very true? If you have got a good memory, you memorize God's word very, very well. And we can quote God's word very well also. But by the way we live, we might behave as if we have forgotten that God's word is in our heart. Isn't it very true? But friends, let's understand. To hide God's word in our heart means we are to obey his word and to apply his word to our life. That's what it means. Hide his word is in our life means to obey his word and to apply it to our lives. To hide God's word means we are to purpose in our heart to obey God's word. And then we are to bend our wills, to subject our wills to his word. In the Old Testament, we have the situation of the Jews being taken into captivity by the Babylonians, by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, among the captives that were taken into captivity were young Jews. And among these young Jews were Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now the testimony of Daniel and his three friends for the Lord was very, very outstanding in the hidden land of Babylon that was flooded with idolatry. Now why was their testimony so outstanding? Now their testimony was very, very outstanding because they had purpose in their heart to obey God's word. Yes, their hearts literally kept God's commandments. And so we read in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. I'd like us to turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, please look at Daniel chapter 1 and look at chapter 1 verse 8. I read for you. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now we are not told whether his three friends had also purposed in their hearts not to defile themselves. But their subsequent testimony appears to tell us that they did also purpose in their hearts not to defile their heart and not to defile their bodies with the food that was served from the king's kitchen. Now these were young Jews, they were elite Jews, and they were taken into captivity for the purpose of being groomed to serve in the king's court. And the grooming process involved their partaking of the food that was served from the king's kitchen. Now we know that the Jews in the Old Testament observed certain kinds of dietary laws. Some food was regarded to be clean by them and other food not clean. And they could only partake of food that was clean and not food that was unclean. So of course they could not take things like pork. And then it was also very entirely possible that the food that was served from the king's kitchen was food that was offered to idols. Now devout Jews will never want to defile themselves by partaking of this food. And Daniel and his three friends certainly didn't want to defile themselves. Now the court officials who looked after them were very, very concerned that they were not wanting to eat this food, because if they look undernourished, then these court officials would be in serious trouble. They could possibly lose their head. Now the young Jews of course would be in trouble too if they appeared to be undernourished. How dare they went against the command of King Nebuchadnezzar by not eating the food that was served out of his kitchen? Friends, that would be a great insult to him. But at Daniel's request, the chief eunuch agreed that Daniel and his three friends be given a vegetarian diet. No meat from the king's kitchen. And the test was to last for 10 days. And we read this in Daniel chapter 1 verse 15. Let's look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. They passed the test, and they passed the test with flying colors. They looked very, very healthy. Now friends, how could they bear such a testimony for the Lord to stand up against the command of King Nebuchadnezzar? Friends, they could because they had purpose in their hearts that they would not defile themselves. The young Jews, of course, had knowledge of the Word of God, not only in their head, but they had the knowledge of the Lord in their heart. And they had purpose to subject their wills to the Word of God. They did not forget God's Word. They kept God's Word in their heart. Now the next test involves Daniel's three friends. Nebuchadnezzar had erected a golden image that was 9 stories tall. And at the sound of great fanfare and great fanfare music, all the citizens of his empire, when they saw that golden image and when the music was played, they had to bow. And those caught not bowing to this image will be thrown into a fiery furnace. But the young Jews had not forgotten God's commandments. God's commandments were very, very clear. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them nor serve them. The young Jews were very, very clear in the mind, the commandments of the Lord. And not only that, they had also kept God's commandments in their hearts. They would therefore prefer to obey God than to obey King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they could easily have bowed down to this golden image like other people would do in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Now, don't forget, these young Jews were holding good positions, comfortable positions in the land of Babylon. They will, of course, if they refuse to bow, will lose all their privileges, and they will lose their prestige, and of course they will lose their life. They will be thrown into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar. And that exactly was what happened. They refused to bow, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar. But God very, very miraculously delivered these three young Jews. Yes, not a single hair on their bodies was singed. Whereas those strong Babylonians who threw these three young Jews into the furnace were burned to death because the furnace was extra hot. Now the point was this. These young Jews kept God's commandments in their hearts. That's the point, friends. They purposed in their hearts to obey God's word and run the risk of being thrown into the fiery furnace rather than to kowtow to this golden image erected by King Nebuchadnezzar. This command is for us also. Understand this truth. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. How well are we remembering God's laws? How well are we keeping God's laws, in our hearts, in our daily living? Whether it be at home, in the office, and in the school, it is so easy for us to forget God's word. Now, if we forget God's word, of course, the consequence is we bring shame and dishonor to His name, because we will be disobeying God's word. The moment we forget, we will disobey. Now, if we want to be steadfast in our testimony and bring honor and glory to the Lord, there simply is no other way. We must remember God's word, and we must purpose in our hearts to obey His word, and we must keep His commandments in our hearts. No other way, friends, if we want to be a good testimony for the Lord. Now, I'd like us to look at the negative consequences of forgetting God's laws. Now, you can inadvertently or willfully forget God's laws. The point is this: if you forget God's laws, you break His laws, as we said earlier on. Yes, you forget, you break. Now, when this building was being constructed, the plumber of this building told me that it is a legal requirement for this valve, hot and water mixture valve in one of the toilets here to be inspected every year. It's a legal requirement. But of course, I was very busy in those days. He told me that requirement, but I conveniently forgot about this legal requirement. And so for the last, I think, how many years? 5-6 years, this valve has never been inspected. We have broken the law, because I have forgotten, friends. Now, if someone gets injured because this valve was not serviced, this church will be in serious trouble. Now, in the case of the laws of the country, if we are caught breaking God's laws, then of course we have to pay. We pay a fine, or we go to jail, or we have to do both, pay a fine and go to jail. But friends, in regards to God's laws, it's the same. When we forget God's law, the consequence is we will break God's laws. And when we break God's laws, of course we have to pay for breaking His laws. Yes, God's word says to us, be sure your sin will find it out. God says that, be sure your sin will find it out. And we have examples upon examples in God's word that warn us against forgetting God's laws. Because the moment we forget, we break His laws. The children of Israel forgot God's laws, and they broke His laws. They went after idols, they broke the Sabbath, they neglected to observe the Sabbath, and they allowed their children to intermarry with the Canaanites of the land. And what was the consequence? The consequence of their forgetting God's laws, breaking God's laws, the result of which was breaking God's laws, was that they were taken into captivity. The northern kingdom was taken away by the Assyrians, and the southern kingdom was taken away by the Babylonians. David forgot God's laws, and he broke His laws, of course. He forgot God's laws, as a result of which he committed adultery with Bathsheba, caused her to be pregnant, and in order to marry her, he had her husband murdered. So he committed two terrible crimes because he forgot God's laws. And what's the consequence? Did he have to pay? Yes, no. Of course he had to pay. He had to pay four times. Fourfold, friends. The baby that was born out of adultery died in babyhood. His eldest son, Amnon, was killed by his half-brother Absalom. And then Absalom later on was killed by David's general because he wanted to usurp David's throne. And later on, another of his sons was killed by King Solomon. Adonijah was killed by King Solomon. So you see, he had to pay fourfold. And then at the close of the life of David, he actually saw his family literally disintegrating before his eyes. He had to pay fourfold. Be sure your sin will find you out. You forget God's laws, my dear friends, you are going to break His laws, and your sin will find you out. Let's learn this lesson, friends. Now look at the positive consequence of not forgetting His laws. Proverbs 3:2. Look at the verse. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. People who forget not God's laws, forget not God's laws, but keep His commandments in their hearts, will enjoy long life and peace. That's what is promised here. Now, we mustn't conclude from this verse that those who do not keep God's laws and disobey God's laws will have very short life. And all those who obey God's laws and keep God's commandments in their hearts will definitely enjoy long life. But we mustn't come to that conclusion. But generally, it is true. Those who disobey God's word will live shorter lives. It's true. People who kill their bodies because they disobey God's laws, they kill their bodies by smoking, and they contract sexually transmitted diseases like HIV, my dear friends, surely will have shorter lives. Then there are those who get into trouble with the laws. They are always very, very fearful, very, very worried that the long arm of the law will catch up with them. And surely their worries will kill them. Wouldn't they? And then generally speaking, the Lord gives longevity to those who forget not His laws and keep His laws in their hearts. Surely the purity of their lives and the moderation that they exercise in all the things that they do, they eat, they drink, they play, the moderation that they exercise surely are going to help them to live longer lives. Now, what is important is that they not only enjoy long lives, but what's more important is that they have quality of life. Verse 2 says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. They have peace. Yes, those who obey God's laws and keep God's laws in their hearts, friends, they will have peace. They have tranquility in their hearts because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is ruling in their hearts. Yes. And because they have this peace in their hearts, they enjoy quality of life. Now, what's the point of living up to, let's say, 100 years old? And if all the years beyond the 70 years about labor and sorrow. Any point, my dear friends, if those years are about labor and sorrow, We say, of course, no point at all. But friends, listen, if we live long beyond the, say, the 70 years, and even though our lives are but labor and sorrow, but if, my dear friends, our life is blessed with peace, wouldn't that be quality life? Think about that. Yes, even though the life could be labor and sorrow beyond the 70 years of our life, my dear friends, there will still be quality life if we are blessed with the peace of the Lord. Now, who are those who will not forget God's laws and will keep them in their hearts? Who are those? Of course, they must be God's children, those who have been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are sons and daughters of God. If they are not, as we said earlier on, God's laws will mean nothing to them. And then, being sons and daughters of God, yes, if we forget not God's laws, but keep God's laws in our hearts, as we said, we will be enjoying long life. Not only long life on this earth, but friends, when we enter into eternity, how long a life will we be having? How long? It's going to be very, very long, my dear friends. It's going to last forever and ever and ever. That's the kind of long life that we will be having. And then at the same time, friends, we will be enjoying everlasting joy and everlasting peace from the Lord. That is what we will have, my dear friends, if we are children of God. Yes, people who truly keep God's laws in their hearts. Now, we have talked about the heads remembering and not forgetting God's laws, and the heart keeping God's commandments. We talk about the head, we talk about the heart. Now let's talk about the neck. And here we want to talk about adornment. Now, what would you like to hang around your neck to adorn yourselves? Many, I guess, would want to wear a beautiful gold chain or beautiful necklace to enhance their looks. Others would like to wear beads or crosses to show their kind of religious inclination or their religious standing. And then others would like to wear adornments to show how wealthy they are. I remember some years ago in Singapore, it was quite common to see hawkers, fishmongers and pork sellers in the market wearing very, very thick gold chain around their neck. For what purpose, friends? Of course, I think they were trying to show off their wealth. But we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what should we be adorning ourselves with around the neck? The Word of God says here, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck." So what should we be adorning ourselves with? Mercy and truth. Yes, we are not to forsake them. And you will note that these two perfections of God always go in pairs, go in a pair. Mercy and truth. I show you this first, Psalm 85 verse 10. If you very quickly turn with me to Psalm 85 verse 10. Psalm 85 verse 10. Psalm 85 and verse 10. Now let's read the verse together. Psalm 85 and verse 10. "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." My dear friends, we need His mercy for salvation. If God were to deal with us according to our sins, if He deals with us according to His righteousness alone, where would we stand, my dear friends? We would perish. Look at Psalm 103, and look at verses 10 to 13. I read the verses for you. Psalm 103, verses 10 to 13. I read for you, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. But as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." Thank God, the Lord deals with us in accordance to His mercies. He sent His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross of Calvary, out of His love and out of His mercy. Friends, let us also see that God does not show us His mercy independent of His truth. As we said, His mercy and truth always go, usually would go in a pair. And what's the truth, friends? The truth is our sins have to be paid for. And that's the truth. We cannot be forgiven if our sins have not been paid for. God will be very, very unjust to forgive us of our sins if our sins have not been paid for. Now, what would you think of a judge who tells a criminal who actually has to go to jail for 5 years based on the laws of the country, and he tells the criminal, it's all right, go, you can go free. What kind of judge would you think of that? What would you think of him? You say that he is not a good judge. He is not an upholder of justice. You say there's a gross injustice committed. We'll say that. But friends, God, our God, is different. He is the absolute upholder of justice. Our sins have to be paid for before He could forgive us. And that precisely was what He did. He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. And lest we think that it was another party, a third party, who paid for our sins, let us remind ourselves that it is God Himself who paid for our sins, because Jesus is God Himself, the Son of God, and He is God, the very God. It is God who paid for our sins. Let us remember this truth. One night in the year 1935, Mr. Guardia, the mayor of New York, showed up in a night court in the poorest part of the city of New York. He dismissed the judge that night and he took over the bench. I don't know why he was able to do that. I don't understand the law, but he did that. He dismissed the judge and he took over the bench. One case involved an old elderly woman who was very, very poor, who was caught stealing bread because it was needful that she stole the bread to feed her grandchildren. Mr. Guardia said to this woman, I got to punish you. I got to punish you $10 or I have to send you to jail for 10 days. And as he spoke, what he did was he took $10 out of his pocket and threw it into his head. And he said, that will be the payment for the fine of this lady. And then saying this to all the members in the court, for those who were seated in the courtroom that day, he said, I'm going to fine every one of you 50 cents. You're going to throw 50 cents into the head. And so the head went down and the collection came out to $47.50 plus the $10. So in all it was $57.50. My dear friends, we see here mercy being shown by this mayor. He paid for the fine that this woman was supposed to pay. Yes, he wanted to pardon her, but her crime had to be paid for, and he paid for her crime. You see how merciful he was. But of course, the 50 cents fine imposed on each one was actually not a fine. It was meant to be a collection for a very charitable cause to help this old lady. This mayor clearly understood what mercy was, and he clearly understood what truth was. These two went hand in hand as far as he was concerned. Friends, as far as our God is concerned, mercy and truth must go hand in hand. Now, we have been saved to be God's peculiar people. We are to conform to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are therefore not only to receive God's mercy and His truth, but we are also to show His mercy and His truth. Now, you might be wearing the most beautiful gold chain or the most beautiful diamond chain around your neck, but they count for nothing in the sight of God. The most beautiful adornment in the sight of God will be what? Mercy and truth. Yes, wear them about your neck. And be sure that it is not mercy only that you are showing without truth. What is the point of being so merciful and yet you have no truth in you? What's the point? You show mercy. You participate in the 30 and 30 program. You want to save souls. And then you say, I'm very concerned about the sick. I want to visit the sick. There are those people who are down and out. I want to help them. I want to counsel them. But in truth, you are a liar and a cheat. And you evade tax. My dear friends, what kind of testimony are you bearing? Now, in the sight of God, my dear friends, you will not be one that He is pleased with if you do not show truth along with mercy. And be sure also that you not only show truth, but you be showing mercy also. If you show truth and you demand justice all the time, He said, everything must be done in truth, and of course everything must be done in truth, and you demand justice all the time, and you exercise and you demand justice without showing mercy, my dear friends, you will be as hard as a flint. You will be seen as being heartless. But thank God, our God is a God of mercy and a God of truth, and we are to be like Him. So therefore, friends, all of us who are children of God, who know God's laws, and who are supposed to keep God's laws in our hearts, let us show forth love and mercy. And we must not write mercy and truth upon a table of stone. That would be very hard. Friends, we must write mercy and truth upon what? The Word of God says what? Write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, what it means is this. We must delight in showing truth and mercy. That is what is meant by writing truth and mercy on the table of the heart. It means we have to delight in showing truth and mercy. We must treat these two qualities as being very, very dear, close to our hearts, and we must be very ready to apply them. And verse 4 says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. So shalt thou find good favor and high esteem, if you like, in the sight of God and men. Now think of that mayor again, Mr. Guardia, who showed so much mercy and so much truth in his judgment upon that grandmother. Would you not think that he will find good favor and high esteem in the sight of men, in the sight of the dwellers of New York? I'm sure he would. Yes, surely he would have earned the respect of men for being so wise, being so merciful, and being such a great upholder of justice, because her fine was paid, remember that? And he paid her fine. Friends, if we show mercy and truth, we are going to earn the respect of men. Yes. But more importantly, if we adorn ourselves with mercy and truth about our neck, we are going to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. And that's more important. By showing mercy and truth, we are honoring Him who has mercy and truth as His perfections. We reflect His glory when we show mercy and truth. And will we not obtain mercy when we show mercy? Yes? How do we know? The Lord says so, of course. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you show mercy, you obtain more mercy. And then we ask ourselves, what good works will we be able to present before the Lord on the day of judgment when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ? What good works will we be able to show? Friends, all our acts done out of mercy and out of truth will be part of those good works that we will be presenting before the Lord on the day of judgment when we stand before His judgment seat. So I ask you this morning, what good works of mercy and truth do we have to present to the Lord? Yes, and what good works of mercy and truth will we be able to present to the Lord when we come before Him? We are not to forget God's laws. For if we forget His laws, the natural consequence is we'll break his laws. The moment we forget his laws, we'll break his law. Remember, I told you about the valve, the mixture, the valve that controls the mixture of cold and hot water. I forget about the legal requirement. The moment I forgot the legal requirement, I had actually broken the law. So if we forget God's laws, my dear friends, we will surely break his laws. And remembering his laws is not good enough. We must keep his laws in our hearts. In other words, we must allow his laws to control us, to govern us, and we must purpose in our hearts to obey God's laws, to subject our will to his laws, just like Daniel and his three friends did. If we did so, God is going to bless us. What does he bless us with? The word of God says what? Long life and peace. And keeping God's laws in our hearts shows that we are indeed children of God. And as his children, whether we enjoy short life or long life on this earth, my dear friends, more importantly, we will be enjoying long life that never ends. And that is, of course, everlasting life. And finally, we are to adorn ourselves with mercy and truth. And not only must we adorn ourselves with mercy and truth, but more importantly, my dear friends, we must delight in showing mercy and truth. We are to write them upon the table of our hearts. By so doing, we will find favor and good understanding, high esteem in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Yes, if we show forth mercy and truth on the day of reckoning, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord God, that we may heed your word, that we may not forget your laws, but Lord, we pray that we may keep your commandments in our hearts. Father, we pray that we may keep your commandments in our hearts so well that we will be showing forth mercy and truth in our lives. Lord, we pray that every day we may be minded to want to please you by performing works of mercy and at the same time exercise that we are upholder of your truth. Father, we pray this morning that you will be pleased to search our hearts, and we pray that you will cause us, Lord, to serve you with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength for your glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.